Abby.
Hey, Matt.
I have a question.
You always do.
What is your defining trait?
Oh, shit.
You thought I was going to ask you what animal it would be again, and you're going to do pterodactyl.
I was.
I know everything that you're going to do. This is Naming a Movie Podcast is Hard, and this is our theme music.
So before we get to our movie review of the week, I don't know if we call it that.
Ooh, so good start. Such a great start. I'm feeling it. It's very good.
Because the movie that we're discussing today is kind of weird.
Super weird.
We thought we'd have a little storytelling session.
Yes.
And talk about our weirdest or most memorable movie experiences.
Yes.
Top three, as far as I understood.
Top three plus a very long list.
Of course, Matt's long list. You want to start, Matt?
My first movie is Get Him to the Greek. Have you seen that movie?
Yeah. I have. Yeah, with what's his name?
Jonah Hill and Russell Brand. Has nothing to do with the movie, but it is the first movie that I took our producer, yeah, on a date too. And as you know, movies are important to me. You've met my producer.
You have to say our producer and my fiance?
Whatever. Okay. So we're in the movie theater. I'm like sitting down to watch. 15 minutes into that movie, she leaves to go to the bathroom.
Oh.
And I was like, oh, all right, well. She comes back. Uh-huh. She leaves again 20 minutes later to go to the bathroom again. She comes back. I'm like, is your stomach okay? Is everything all right? She leaves again like during the climax of the movie.
Ooh.
And
she just didn't like the movie.
Yeah, I mean, probably. That's what I've learned from her, is that when she doesn't like movies, she just sort of disappears.
Really?
Yeah, so we watched Blade Runner the other day. Or not the other day. But, like, she was gone for, like, 20 minutes, and she came back with popcorn, and she was like, yeah, I just don't really understand what's going on. So that's my number one.
Especially now that you love the movie 20 minutes.
Like, I can't explain it to you now. So that was my first intro to her as a movie watcher, and that's just something that I've lived with.
What's the answer? Like, does she just have a small bladder?
Yeah, she has a small bladder.
Oh, that was it?
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
Man. And you still decided to date her?
Yeah, she went, yeah, yep.
Wow.
She finds reasons to leave during movies all the time.
So that was one of your weirdest movies.
It was really weird. I was like, maybe she doesn't like me. Maybe she doesn't like this movie.
Why would she keep coming back?
I don't know. It was weird.
Wow, okay. I could see why that would be memorable.
Yeah.
Did it distract you from watching the movie?
I haven't seen the movie since.
So you probably had no idea what happened during that movie. Eventually, he gets to the Greek.
He does?
Yeah.
Oh, so good. I'm so proud of him.
Spoiler. My first one involves you, actually.
Ugh!
Yeah. All right, so
you're not going to save this one until the end?
No, I'm not going to save this.
Is it the same one that I have with you in it?
Is it Hot Rod?
Yes.
It is.
God!
You have that on your
list. Yeah, absolutely.
All right, so just
you tell
to
it.
Tell the listeners, I went to see the movie Hot Rod with Matt and some other friends, and I'm sitting there, and this movie, it's a movie with Andy Samberg.
It's a great movie.
I couldn't even tell you.
Oh my God, he's trying to get money for his dad, who is dying, so he can get like some sort of surgery or something, and the way that he's going to do that is to like do these big stunts so that he'll get enough money so that he can save his dad's life so that he can beat him up.
That whole plot was lost on me.
Oh my God!
This movie was the least funny movie I've ever seen. But despite being the least funny movie, everyone else in the theater was cracking up, like
cool beans.
Laughing hysterically.
Cool beans.
And I sat there looking around, being like, "I'm punked. Where is Ashton Kutcher? Is he about to come out?" I was so confused why everyone was laughing. It was the stupidest movie I've ever seen.
You also threatened to leave.
I did. I did threaten to leave.
And I was so angry.
Well, when you feel so isolated.
Oh my God.
There's reason to leave. But I didn't. I didn't leave the movie.
I've actually thought about nominating that as a movie that you'd have to watch again.
If you do that. Nah, I've seen it. I've seen it already.
I don't care. Okay, so I gotta take one from my long list. I'm doing super bad.
All right, bring it.
All right, super bad. Have you seen that movie Superbad? Have you seen the movie Superbad?
I think I saw it with you, maybe.
No, you have not.
Oh, okay, all right.
You have not seen the movie Superbad with me. All right. I saw that movie with my parents.
Ooh.
And my eldest brother.
Okay.
And it's the last movie I saw before I went away to college. And obviously Superbad has a lot of lewd moments, mm-hmm. I would say. Lots of things that you don't want to watch with your parents. I mean, I'm okay with it. It's fine. But I assume other people wouldn't be comfortable watching these movies.
Oh, sure.
With
you were all
I was very comfortable. I've been watching these movies since I was 11 with my parents. Fine. Mm-hmm. Don't worry about it. Anyways.
We'll bring them on the show and make sure that's
great.
Correct.
I would love them to be here to talk about it. Anyways, I just thought it was a very memorable movie experience because it was the last movie I saw before going away to school. And it is the reason I made one of my first friends at my school as well. Because all we would do is quote the movie back and forth when I sat in his room and kicked around his medicine ball.
So in that movie, were they about to go off to college?
Yeah.
Or they were just solidly in high school?
No. They were just about to go off to college.
Oh, okay.
Right?
So that's a good college prep movie. I like
Yeah.
That's a good choice. All right. My next one is not a specific movie, but it's a series of movies.
Oh, boy.
I know.
What?
All right. Let me set the stage. When I was in... I guess it was after I came home from college. I lived at home for a year and was poor because I had only a part-time job. And so my parents, who had the, like, optimum three-way package, got free movies on Tuesdays if you had an optimum card.
Yes.
But it was only at a limited number of movie theaters.
Yuck.
One of which was, like, about 20 minutes from my parents' house. So...
I know which one you're talking about.
Yeah. I won't reveal where my parents live.
Sure.
So even though the theater was not the best theater, I still went there every Tuesday night for several months running. But it was so bad that something went wrong with every single Tuesday night movie that I saw there. So the first movie that I went to there, the picture completely turned upside down. Halfway through the movie. So we, like, turned our heads. Nah. Second time we went, I actually remember which movie it was this time. It was The Ides of March.
Ooh.
With,
Gosling.
Yeah, Ryan Gosling.
Yes.
And George Clooney.
Yes.
At some point, the movie split horizontally so that their legs were on top and their heads were on the bottom. Still, Ryan Gosling is attractive.
There you go.
That's been a weird way to watch part of a movie. So the third time I went... the ceiling fell down.
What?
They had to close off a bunch of the seats in the theater because the ceiling kept falling down. So I'm telling my brother this whole story about how something goes wrong every time I go, and he does not believe me. He thinks that I'm crazy and that I'm exaggerating. So I'm like, fine.
As you do.
Next Tuesday, come with me. And he comes, and we're watching the movie. Everything's going great, and I'm thinking, great. Like, the one time I talk it all up. And then all of a sudden, the whole movie just shuts off for several minutes. And he's like, I won't doubt you anymore. It's very sadly, that movie theater shut down. I can't imagine why.
That was a good one. The last one that I've chosen is a movie called Lady in the Water.
One of the M. Night Shyamalan movies.
One of the classic M. Night Shyamalan movies.
Okay.
I went to this movie with the writer of our theme music.
Oh.
And a bunch of other people. I think it must have been, like, late at night. This was 2006, I believe. It's late at night. Lady in the Water, if you've ever seen it, have you?
No.
I know a movie I'm going to give you next.
Okay. This was a bad idea.
One of the not best movies that I've ever seen, but the experience was amazing because halfway through the movie, we all just sort of gave up on it.
Mm.
Us in the back. And then the other group of people who we didn't know in the front.
Oh.
And we just started screaming out jokes at the movie. So at some point, this was the summer of Snakes on the Plane.
Oh.
Somebody screamed out, "Snakes on the Plane!" And somebody would scream it out like 3 seconds later. And everybody would laugh. And it was amazing. And every M. Night Shyamalan movie, not everyone, but like a bunch of the M. Night Shyamalan movies, I've had that sort of experience. So it happened with The Happening. So anytime somebody laughed at a weird moment, everybody in the crowd would start dying. except for The Last Airbender, which I saw with our theme music writer again, where we thought that we could laugh at this movie, and we tried to. But then a man wearing a New York Giants jersey turned around 5 minutes into the movie and was like, hey, bro, this isn't a comedy. And that's when I stopped laughing at movies that weren't comedies.
You don't mess with Avatar.
I didn't know. I didn't know.
Good on that Giants fan.
This ain't a comedy, bro.
That's really funny. I like that story.
You have one more.
I have one more. Senior year of college. The one, we'll talk about this in the next part of, what is it called?
Section, next segment?
Segment, that's the word.
You're doing so good. So proud of you right now.
I know. The next segment. But the one defining trait that brought all of my college friends together was our love of Harry Potter.
Sure.
Of course. So Harry Potter 7 Part 1 was coming out when we were seniors. We all decided to...
Did I really see that with you?
I don't think so, because we dressed up. And I believe we might have been the only people in the theater that were dressed up, which is could be embarrassing, or you could just embrace it like we did. But the movie ended up being hysterical, because there were all these weird lines that didn't make any sense and were funny, and the whole audience did laugh at that. So, I don't know. Being dressed up is cool at movie theaters, I decided, and it was a memorable experience.
Did it bring you guys closer together?
I think it did.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. I would tell you a follow-up story about Steve, but I talk about him too much.
Usually you don't mention his name either.
Oh, shoot.
Okay. Great job. We saw all the beginning Harry Potters together, though, maybe.
Maybe.
Yes. I'm pretty sure. I don't know. Nobody really wants to hear a long list of, like... So, the other movies that are on my long list.
Okay.
Do it anyway.
Just tell us.
Independence Day.
Oh.
That's an oldie, but a goodie.
Okay,
but anytime it rains and it's early in the morning, I think about this movie. Wow. Because we went like at an 8:30 showing. Saw it with my parents. Beautiful. Sin City. I saw that movie with a friend of mine, and we bought tickets to Ice Princesses. I think that's what it's called. Anyways.
Ice Princesses?
Because it was R-rated and we weren't old enough to get in.
Yeah. And with Michelle Trachtenberg?
Yeah.
Of course, her name I remember.
Didn't.
Not Jonah Hill.
But at some...
I think it's, by the way, just Ice Princess.
Princesses?
Nah, actually, I don't know. I don't know why I'm questioning.
It's probably right. Ice Princess. You're probably right. You're probably right. But anyways, the ticket taker didn't take our ticket, and so at some point, he came into the movie and was like, hey, did we take your ticket for this movie? And I was like,
oh,
yes.
Oh, no. That seems crazy.
So I've now learned about paranoia in a theater. Okay. 8 Crazy Nights? There's not a story for that one.
Just a memorable movie.
Saw four I chose because it's the only movie that I've ever gone to at, like, midnight. On, like, an opening showing.
Oh.
And we, like, drove into Boston.
Saw
yeah.
four?
I didn't choose it. Anyways, that's the list. We're gonna take a break.
And we have a big surprise for you after
yes.
the break.
Good tease.
Thank you. So, we're going to be talking about the movie The Lobster. It came out in 2015.
Great year.
Directed / co-written / also co-produced, I believe, by someone named either Yorgos Lanthimos or Yorgos Lanthimos. I can't read my notes. It's so bad. But we'll issue apologies at the end.
Obviously.
Yeah. Okay. Starring Colin Farrell and...
Rachel Weisz.
Okay. So... Because we, Matt and myself, have no faith in our own abilities to review this movie, we brought in a ringer.
Yeah.
Our friend Beryl is here to talk about this movie with us. Hi, Beryl.
Hi, guys.
We appreciate you being our first guest on the podcast. How do you feel?
So honored.
Oh, good. We're glad.
A little nervous?
Totally. But this is my favorite movie, probably of all time.
Wow, favorite Whoa. Movie of all time. So yeah. That's why we brought you in. Do you want to tell us like a little bit about your first experience with the movie? How about that?
Actually, it's an interesting story because
yes.
I actually went with some bridesmaids who I didn't know at all.
Mm-hmm.
We were in the same wedding together.
Yes, we were. I was one of the bridesmaids.
Me too, me too.
Spoiler. Yeah.
Me too.
And we went and we wanted to go bond over the movie. Mm-hmm. And it was like one of those movies where after you watched it, you needed to get an ice cream and sit around and just talk about it.
Weird choice for a wedding just off the bat.
It is interesting that this all was centered around like pairing two people up.
Yeah.
Our friend. Our mutual friend.
Yes.
All right. So for those who have never seen the movie, Matt, maybe you want to give us
I would love to give you a summary of this
summary.
Movie.
Okay, go ahead.
Colin Farrell wears glasses, and he goes to a hotel where he has 45 days to find love, or he will be turned into a lobster.
He turns into an animal of his choice.
An animal of his choice. All right, I'm giving
I'm
the
sorry,
summary.
I'm
here.
Sorry. All no right. more interrupting.
All right. And
just that barrel did it, so I felt like I could do it.
You're right, you guys can. It's fine. Over the course of the story, does his best to find love, doesn't really, and he escapes the hotel to go hang out with this group, the loners, where he ultimately finds the person that he loves, maybe. We don't know. We don't know.
Okay. This is going great.
Is it going? All right.
Yeah. Well, but then also the loners have a rule where you're not allowed to fall in love.
Oh, good catch, good catch. And then, obviously, Rachel Weisz is that loner, and so you meet Rachel Weisz, you're going to fall in love with her.
That's true.
He does, and he doesn't turn into a lobster. The end.
Oh, that's where you're going to leave it?
I mean, also, she gets her eyes, she gets blinded, and he might cut out his own eyes. I don't know.
Okay.
I don't know. Also, there's a dog thing, and that made me really upset.
So that was something that resembled the plot summary.
Felt like it was perfect.
It definitely felt like two movies in one, though.
Do you want to talk a little bit more about that, Beryl?
Tell us more. Which part do we want to talk about first? The hotel or the life after the hotel?
I think we want to start off with the hotel. So the part in the hotel is really just about, it's like a commentary.
Guys, this is it's an allegory.
It really is
an allegory.
It's about online dating.
Is it?
No.
Ultimately.
No, I don't think so. Totally.
Totally about online dating.
Yeah, yeah.
Online dating or just dating in general?
Or just coupling off.
There's no such thing as dating in general now. It is all online.
Interesting.
We don't know because I've never online dated, Abby.
I've never online dated either, although.
Lucky you.
Yeah.
I was very good at using AIM in the 9th grade.
I wasn't even good at that. I would have no online dating skills. But I couldn't even tell you what my defining trait was.
Yeah, that was real bad.
Well, what do you think about that? So one of the points I think that the movie makes is that people really attach themselves to each other based on almost seemingly superficial connections that you make right off the bat, potentially. So like if two people...
Have
like
bloody noses.
Exactly. Like two people in the movie have bloody noses. So they pair off at the hotel, and then they don't have to turn into
But you
animals.
Find out later
that
the guy punches himself.
He's faking it.
He's just faking it so that he can pair off.
Right, and this is also, that goes with online dating where you just have to put up like a couple characteristics of yourself and somebody goes, oh, yeah, I like those things and let's go on a date, right?
I'm a foodie.
I rock climb.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go on a date.
I travel.
But also, it works in terms of movies, right? Because in movies, you go, oh, you like The Shins? I like The Shins, too. Let's date. And we automatically fall in love. And
that's
it's all that
point.
One thing that sort of allows the audience to get invested in their story, even though they don't really know each other. And that's, I mean, it's different with online dating, but it serves two purposes in that way.
So you think this is also commentating on how in movies portray relationships in sort of a very basic level?
Totally.
Well, do you think that that's true? Do you buy into it? That initial connections at least are like sparked by kind of superficial traits that people find connections with?
Absolutely.
We got some nodding heads.
That's why my online dating profile has me with my mother and another picture with me and a dog.
The two things you love the most.
People really enjoyed those things, so they swipe right. I think. I don't know.
Was this
your AIM profile you're talking
about? My AIM profile. Yo, those away messages were dope. Just saying.
So the first part of the movie talks a lot about whether... Basically, I feel like that's sort of the central theme of the first part of the movie.
Or the glue that keeps people together. So first it's the similarities. Later on you have... people assigning children when the couples start fighting.
Yeah, that's true.
That was a good one. I like that.
I like that too.
That got pretty real. Do they stay together?
Hard to say. Well, because one of the things that they do in the movie, the loners do in the movie, the loners who we meet in the second half, is they go to the couples and sort of try to ruin their relationship. So one of the things they do is they
just
go to
like single people trying to bring us down.
That's what I'm saying.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
You don't know what it's like to be single. Oh yeah. Anyways,
who are you talking to?
I don't know. It's the straw man argument. Anyways. But that's one of the things they do, the loners in the movie, is they go and try to ruin these couples' relationships, right? So they'll have the two singers that we meet in the hotel, and they give one of them a gun, and it's like, who are you going to shoot, yourself, or are you going to shoot the person you seemingly love? Mm. And the guy, he shoots the gun, and nothing comes out, but...
Right. They just mind-fucked him.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Hmm. Do you think that they stayed together?
No. No. No, I do not.
Could you stay together?
No, that would be so fucked up. But actually, I would if the alternative was going to the hotel and, like, turning into a horse.
But that's exactly the point, though, right? It's that once you become single, you're banished to this place, this hotel, where everyone's sad and lonely. Yeah. And desperate.
Yeah.
Like, why are they all wearing the same clothing?
They were assigned, though.
I know, but why?
Because, you know, it's like the Scarlet Letter. You are single.
And you have to wear the single costume?
But, yeah. I guess.
That's kind of weird. I feel like it's to... Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. Why aren't people allowed to wear whatever clothes they want?
I guess it's supposed to be based on your personality? I don't know.
Not based on your fashion choices?
Yeah, I don't know.
I like to think that people are drawn to me because of my amazing fashion choices.
Great sweater right now. Just really nice. So nice.
Yeah. We'll do... Okay, so I feel like the second...
Second half of the movie.
The second sort of statement that the movie makes in the first part of the movie is that society is completely built around coupling off and pairing off, and that there's no alternative in society to be single or just something other than coupled up. So I don't know. Like, did those two things speak to you guys as, like, either you're in a relationship or you're single? Like, did that seem right to you?
I mean, it feels like real life.
Yeah. So fair.
Where are your dating papers? Sorry, Mom, Dad. Can't help you with that.
Who's your significant other? Is it alive? Is it a human? Perhaps it's an animal.
So why don't you tell us what happens more thoroughly than you did before?
You don't think my first part was that great?
No, it was great, but there's, like, maybe more detail to be had.
Okay, in the second part of the movie, Colin Farrell...
After he escapes from the hotel.
After he escapes from that heartless woman who killed his brother, who's a dog.
We're just going to pass over that one.
And that's why there's so many dogs in this world. Everyone wants to be a dog.
Oh, that was a good, that was a good line. Point. That was a good point.
But why are there so many cats?
I feel like I'd rather be a cat than a dog.
Ugh.
So there are way more women.
Cats.
Man.
Cats.
Quick, what would be your animal?
Oh, what? Oh, right. I was supposed to prepare that. I think it'd be a pterodactyl. Actually, though, this is a legit answer. Being a pterodactyl sounds great.
That sounds good. That sounds pretty good.
Would you be alive now, though?
You'd just be dead.
Oh, are you not? Is that, like, one of the rules? You're not allowed to be an extinct
I don't know.
Species?
Didn't one of the girls choose to be, like, a unicorn or a pony?
Yeah, she totally
donkey?
Did.
Donkey?
No, I think that was just a pony with, like, nice hair, because her, like, defining characteristic was she had really nice hair.
Mm. Oh, and she couldn't find a guy with nice hair?
Well, Colin Farrell was like, do you like my hair? I like yours. And he goes, but you might go bald. But. So in the second half of the movie, after the dog, he joins these loners in the forest.
Who he has to hunt.
Who they initially have to hunt to get more days in the hotel. The more you get, the more days you get to spend in the hotel.
I just think that anyone who's listening who has not seen this movie is going to just really understand.
I just want you to know that it's a very dystopian society. What did I miss?
I think the part that's important is
the ending.
Well, I was talking about the part where... Well, this leads to the ending. So the leader of the loners is...
Awful.
Awful.
I hate her. She didn't kill the dog, but she's awful.
Yeah. There are a bunch of awful people in this movie.
Yeah.
So she sees this budding relationship between the two main characters.
Sure.
She's like the character of a very jealous single friend.
Oh, yeah.
She's never found love herself.
She's trying to
sabotage
her friend's
happiness. But she doesn't want
anyone
else to have it either.
Yeah. Trying to sabotage her friend's happiness.
Yeah.
Do you think those exist?
Totally.
Really?
Oh, yeah. No.
Like, they want you to stay single with them.
Right.
So they can go out and party. take pickleback shots.
No one wants to be the last one single.
Right, so they are willing to bring you down. All right. Yeah, I think that I buy that. I buy that as
like
her.
You want an army of girls.
Yeah.
Girls' night.
Clubbing out in the woods with headphones on.
That was actually one of my favorite scenes. EDM music. The way they defined weird. EDM music, I have to say, was so good. Because think about it. When we were in high school, what were we dancing to at the high school dances?
I didn't go to any high school dances because I'm uncomfortable with my body movements.
So someone what did you listen to at home?
A lot of sad, sad emo.
That's true. You did listen to a lot of emo.
Yet you're engaged, so it's all good.
We did it!
Yeah, no lobsters for you.
Thank you, Dashboard Confessional.
No, but back in the day, there was like Casey and JoJo.
Oh, yes, love it.
City High.
Love it.
They were like, there was like groovy music.
Jams.
Boys to Men, like, you know, baby-making music. Now we have EDM. Like, imagine if you were going to high school dance now. You'd just be fist pumping all night.
Yeah,
sounds kind of fun.
Yeah, but it's not good for, like, grinding on people.
Yuck, don't say that word in front of me. Yuck.
I had my first grinding experience in 8th grade.
I wasn't there. I didn't go to this dance. You can tell. You can say the story if you want.
That was it. That was the end of the story.
Yes, you're right. The music where they dance alone.
Just not conducive to getting it on.
And the way that they portray that in the movie is they put on headphones and just like rock out silently in the woods.
By the way, there is a thing called a silent disco.
Which is so fun.
I actually went to a really good one last year.
I went with you. Yeah, you're going to remember it in about 3, 2, 1.
Okay, so not going to lie, probably went 3 times. But then it just reminded me of the scene.
Yeah.
And then I had flashbacks and had to stop.
Oh, to the movie?
Yeah.
Like, in a bad way?
Well, I mean, it's not a great scene. It's a great scene because it's a great social commentary, but then you're like, what am I doing?
This is pretty sad.
Yeah. Like, I am in my own bubble, jamming to my own beat. With, like, 500 other people who don't care what I'm doing.
I loved it.
I mean, hey, I had a great time jamming to some Backstreet Boys, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so I think that was a great scene. And then one of the other things that I really enjoyed in the loner section of the movie is how Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz sort of came up with their own language, which is, like a very couple-y thing to do.
That's like, so true.
You'll say a word and your like significant other knows exactly what you're talking about. Or like it's an inside joke and they'll know exactly what you're talking about.
Especially in the beginning when you're all like lovey-dovey and everything you guys do is like the first time this has ever been done.
Right. You find pet names for each other or whatever and you just go in.
What was their language? Can you tell?
They like did like a lot of like arm movements and they'd like cover their eye and put like their arm behind their back and they'd like go down on the ground and sort of
also because they couldn't verbalize their feelings
right
so they had to do it through body language
or else they'd get in trouble right and that's ultimately what happens. The single friend, the loner leader as it were, finds out that they are in love because they were making out right in front of her parents, and then she takes Rachel Weisz to this doctor and he blinds her
because the common trait that Colin Farrell and Rachel Weisz's character has is nearsightedness. So she takes that away from her.
Yep. That's a good point, though, because you're in the forest and you're still abiding by the rules of the hotel.
Oh, right. Snap. You can't escape it.
You can't. It's just pervasive.
I see why you like this movie so much.
And then intrinsically in the story itself, it becomes a problem for Colin Farrell because he tries to find different things that they have in common besides that. So he's like, do you speak German? And she's like, no, it would take a very long time to teach you that. And he ultimately, because of this rule that's been trained into him or whatever about love, he ultimately at the end decides that he needs to blind himself for his companion.
So that they can have a common trait again.
Right, so that they can be in love again. Right.
Yeah, they're in the loner forest. But they want to join society.
Yeah. So what happens? Tell us the end.
So in the end, they leave the loner forest. That's a great phrase. And
not the enchanted forest, not, like Harry Potter. Enchanted. No, not. We're in the loner forest now.
Yeah.
It's a much sadder forest. And so they leave the forest, and they go into society. They go to, like, some diner or whatever. And
but it's, like, such a struggle for them to get out of the
right.
forest.
Right. He's, like, carrying her.
It's, like, a good 20 minutes of the movie of them just, like, walking. She's in heels, maybe?
It's a long sequence, yeah.
And, like, I think that's part of, like, the whole struggle. It's, like, he worked so hard to bring her out of the forest.
Yeah.
While she was blind. He could have just blinded himself in the forest.
Right? That's true.
That's a good point. But why didn't he do that?
Because the loners would never have allowed them to be together, I guess.
No, yeah. See, this is the part where I'm a little bitter about. I think he wasn't sure.
I think that's true, too.
And then he just wanted to wait.
He wasn't sure, so he, like, delay tactics?
Yeah. Well, it's, like, one of those things where it's, like, when the relationship is going south a little bit, you do other things to be like, oh, we're still doing things together. Mm. And it's still working.
Wait, is this tennis ball? Is this a kiwi? What is it? Tell me, how does this game work?
Isn't, like, what was going south because they no longer had their trait that they shared? So, like,
but
it
that's superficial.
It. Yeah. Damn.
But this whole society is superficial. That's, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it would have fixed it.
If but he did,
wouldn't
that?
Because they'd still be in the loner forest and you still cannot be in love with somebody in that forest.
So he had to bring her out.
They would have just died blind is the difference. As opposed
which
to.
Is a little bit romantic.
It is. And it's something that maybe he would have done if...
It seems more romantic than what actually ended up happening.
Well, let's get to the ending. So right, they're in the diner. She's blind still. And he's like, the only way this is going to work is if I become blind as well. Right? And so he goes into the bathroom and...
And... It pretty much ends there. They leave it on the cliffhanger. You don't know. He puts a knife to his eye, which is something else.
Yikes.
And you just see him kind of wavering a little bit, and then end scene.
In true indie movie fashion.
Yeah.
So what do you guys think happened?
I think he blinded himself.
And he goes out and like.
Staggers to her.
I do, because I think that even though...
Such he's... a something that would be said by somebody who's in a couple.
No.
Tell me
no.
more about your significant other.
No. Here. The thing was, he was so afraid the entire movie of turning into a lobster, right? He, like, did everything he could not to become a lobster. So, even to the point where he, like, pretended to be a heartless bastard to try and couple up
he
with
kicked
the
a little girl.
He kicked a little girl. He, like, didn't care when the girl he was wooing was, like, choking to death. Like, all that stuff, right?
Oh, that olive, yeah.
So he's really trying to not turn into a lobster. And so I think at the end, he saw his options. Like, where could he go from there? He could go back to the hotel, maybe, even though...
He could go back to the hotel with his eyesight.
With his eyesight, but it seemed like he had already sort of been kicked out of the hotel. He had, like...
Yeah,
well, we also forgot to mention the part where he actually ditches her in the forest.
Oh, I don't remember that part.
He straight up ditches her, and she was like, where have
you
been?
Oh, for a couple of days, yeah. We don't actually see it. They just have, like, a scene where they're like, I haven't seen you in a couple of days, we didn't get to play our game that we usually play, blah, 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 blah.
Where'd he go?
Wander the forest.
Just, like, hang out.
He's mulling things over.
He probably
think he's mulling things over, or is he looking for other options?
He's just playing some EDM, I think, by himself. Probably a little bit of...
some fist pumping.
Yeah, Armin Van Buuren.
Well, that only adds to my argument, though. So he goes, trying to find something else, can't find it, and this is his last option. He's got to be with her.
But is he in love?
Yeah, I think that's the thing. I don't think he's in love enough
to carve his own eye out.
Yeah.
So he does. You don't think he does it?
Well,
that
I think
the question.
So. I've watched the movie maybe 3 times now.
You said 5 before.
Yeah. Maybe 5, but like the ending definitely 3 times. And I feel like I remember there was a scene at the very end. She's looking out the window in the diner, and he's in the bathroom, and there's a
looking,
car.
In quotes.
Yes. You think he left?
And there's a car that drives away.
You think he got in the car and drove away?
I mean, there's definitely a vehicle that moves, but yep. I don't know that there's, like, any indication that it's him. It's art, so you can take whatever you want from it, but...
So you think no? He didn't do it.
No, and I feel like I have personal experiences to back this up.
Oh, I would love to hear those.
Please tell
us. Let's
those.
Hear what you think.
Okay, and then I get to hear your personal experience.
I don't know if we're
I'm not going to forget. Okay, I think that what happens is that he ultimately tries to get his eyes out, but the reason why they wait so long in the diner, like we hold so long because she's the last image, is that he, like, dies.
What?
Right? Whoa. He dies in the bathroom.
Is this just some way of getting out of whether you want to know whether he carved his eye out or not?
No. He tries to.
Yeah.
But again, like I said 4 seconds ago, he dies.
Why? What conclusion would that draw to the movie?
Well, she's alone.
She's alone.
Blinded,
right?
In society. It's over for her.
Aren't we all blind?
No, I just don't think, like...
I felt like it was deep.
Everything else has, like, a statement about society. Like, what is the statement there? That he's just, like...
He's trying to get away from...
Hard to carve your eye out? Yeah.
Yeah, I assume it is. But, like, he's been trying to elude this... He's been trying to elude fate where he is not alive as himself anymore. So he doesn't want to become the lobster. Or he doesn't want to be turned into the animal that nobody wants to be, which is threatened earlier on in the movie. And so, in trying to change who he is, he ultimately dies doing it. Yeah.
They don't give that any... Works. No. Yes. They don't give any indication that he dies.
No, they don't. I mean, I thought it was art.
It's nice when you say that to us, but we don't give you the same flexibility.
It's fine. He probably just, like, goes to that mall again.
What happens at the mall? I forget about the mall.
The police officer just, like, checks on everybody at the mall.
Yeah.
He probably just goes to the mall.
And then he goes back to the hotel.
Goes back to the hotel.
And it starts all over again.
He, like, ends up being the animal that nobody wants to be.
Ooh, I wonder if she goes back to the hotel now that she's blind. Would she become a blind animal?
Are there... What's a blind... What is a blind
man? You will not distract us from your
personal story. Oh, yeah, tell me your story. All right, let's go back to your story.
Let's not talk about the personal story. We'll say the personal struggle.
Sure.
All right, so you have this girl who trusts this guy, and he says, I'm going to take you all the way out of the forest, and you're blind. So you just kind of full-on trust the dude.
I like this.
So you go with it, and you're like, okay, I'm not sure if I'm into this, but, like, I'll go with it. I mean, I can't do any better because I'm blind.
You can do better.
Oh, thanks. So you go with the guy, and the entire time you're thinking, okay, the guy knows what he's doing. He's leading me out of the forest. He must mean what he says. And then you get to the diner, and he leaves you.
Ugh.
Oh, ugh. Yeah. And the self-doubt, and the questioning, and then you never know if he comes. Now you're sitting there, and what do you start thinking?
How are the home fries here? Pretty good.
Coffee? I need a creamer.
What did I do? What did I do wrong?
Right.
Well, did he actually mean it the entire time?
Mm.
And then my big takeaway from this whole thing is that he did mean it the entire time. It was just at the very end. He couldn't commit.
Mm.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So you think he loved her, but he was afraid of commitment?
Or he loved her, but when the time came, he just couldn't do it.
You know, the beginning of the whole movie is kicked off because his wife leaves him.
Exactly.
So he's afraid of getting hurt again, maybe.
Potentially. Ooh. Or he's just not ready.
Guys, this is so good.
This movie is a conversation starter.
Listen, I've had a lot of conversations. This is how I've come to this. And I think I relate to it just because, like, you go into a relationship, you think it's good, you follow along, and you're like, at the end, when it falls apart, you're like, what did I do wrong? And really, no one did anything wrong. He just changed his mind at the end. I changed my mind at the end. Except in this case, the girl is blind, so she can't change her mind.
So this is all about...
Blind for love. Yeah. As it were. So, it was all what?
You know, I don't know. That makes a statement about, like, women being powerless in the situation.
Social commentary.
And all right, so we kind of left it. Final thoughts.
Final thoughts. Do you have a final?
I think after this conversation, I'm glad I assigned it to you because I feel like I liked it more after having this conversation.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I enjoyed it. I thought that the first half was better than the second half of the movie. Just the world building and stuff. Felt like it had more, like the engine was moving better or whatever. I don't know.
It was more comedic.
Yeah, it was funnier.
And the second half was just so serious.
It was serious, and, like, I don't know. We met Rachel Weisz pretty late in the story. I like thought that the maid was going to be the one that he dated ultimately or whatever, but it didn't end that way. So your takeaway was you're glad.
I'm glad we talked. I'm glad we had this talk.
All right.
And we know Beryl like this movie.
Oh yes.
There you go.
Well, thanks for coming on, Beryl.
Thanks for having me.
Anytime. As long as you have another personal story to give with the movie.
Is that the cost?
Yes.
Is that the cost for fame? Yes.
All right, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back. All right, so before Matt tells me what his pick for the next movie is, we just want to remind our listeners that they can reach us on Twitter at
Naming a Movie Pod,
and or email us at Naming a Movie Podcast is hard at google.com.
Gmail.
Shoot,
it's Gmail. It's not Google.
Google.
I always say that. No, we're keeping it in.
No, Gmail. Let's record over
at
it.
Gmail.com. At Google.com.
All right, Matt, moving on. Let's record over it at Gmail.com.
I'm keeping it in.
What movie have you chosen for next week?
Andy, I was told that you wanted a rom-com.
Yeah.
And so I'm going to give you...
Sometimes you just need a good rom-com.
You need some love. You need some comedy with your romance. I'm going to give you a romantic comedy that I've watched maybe over 10 times.
Oh.
But not in the last 10 years.
Uh-oh.
Is that possible?
Gamble.
It is called Forces of Nature. No idea who directed it.
Good prep. Good podcast prep.
It stars Ben Affleck, Sandra Bullock... And
do they have chemistry?
Oh, do they ever. Do they ever. And they're on a road trip to get to Ben Affleck's wedding. And
oh, snap.
And we'll see how you feel about it. See if it's romantic and comedic enough for you.
Okay.
Do you have any final thoughts? We should thank our guest.
Thank you to Beryl for coming and hanging out with us for a while. She's happily eating some Mediterranean food and fist pumping.
Yum. To her own EDM song.
All right, talk to you next time.
This is Naming a Movie Podcast is hard.